Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have been a major story. Uh-oh, Schwarberg gonna send one way out of here. How far will it fly? My goodness. Kyle Schwarber with a tape measure shot up on top of the pavilion and right. That is one of the biggest bombs you will ever see. And the Phillies tie it up immediately on a Schwarb bomb here in the fourth.
That thing was hit so hard and so far. Baseball has been great so far in the playoffs. I know that we say this every year, and I'm not a big, you know, night-in, night-out regular season guy. But playoff baseball is awesome. And the Phillies were on the verge of getting swept heading back to Dodger Stadium. Phillies, by the way, were the favorite to win this whole thing. Not that it ever works out in the Major League Baseball playoffs. But Kyle Schwarber was like 0 for his last 23 at-bats, 0 for 8 in the series in the first two games, losing the first two in Philly to the Dodgers. And that was his first of two home runs last night. 455 feet. The Phillies beat the Dodgers to stay alive 8-2, and their big three, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, all former Washington Nationals, in the game, they went 7 for 13, 5 RBIs, 2 home runs. The big three in their lineup had been silent in the first two, and they came to life last night. And game four tonight at Dodger Stadium. It's the early game because we get a game five tonight. We get another game four, Cubs Brewers. We get a game five tomorrow night, on Friday night, the Tigers and Mariners with Scooble pitching for Detroit in Seattle in a game five. The winner of that takes on Toronto, who eliminated the Yankees. I've got to say this real quickly, and the show today, by the way, with Max will be a busy show. A little bit of a football show today. I will have a smell test pick or two on the show today for tonight's football action. You're going to hear from Steve Suter, who did his film breakdown on my podcast yesterday. He was excellent. I'm going to play the part where he goes through Jaden Daniels' first game back. Charch will join us. Denton will join us. We'll do some college football. The worst part about last night's Phillies-Dodgers game was Clayton Kershaw, a legend, a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the great left-handed pitchers in the history of the game. The last time he had come in relief in a playoff game was 2019 in that deciding game against the Nats in the NLDS when he got out two batters to end the seventh and then gave up back-to-back homers in the eighth for the game to get tied. And you saw that, you know, famous shot of him isolated in the dugout after getting pulled, just despondent. Last night, Kershaw got absolutely destroyed in this game. It was still a game when he came in. It was 4-1. It was 3-1 when he came in the seventh. And he actually escaped the seventh miraculously. Not with great pitches, but Schwarber got caught on first, got doubled up, and was that was one of the outs. There was another really good catch in the outfield to kind of bail him out. But then in the eighth, homer, walk, fielding error, single, homer, double, single. And the score 5 runs later was 8-1. And Dave Roberts never pulled him. He just left him out there because they didn't want to go through the bullpen. The game was basically over, so he had to eat it. 2 innings for Clayton Kershaw, 6 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, 3 walks, no strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs on 48 pitches. I don't know that we're going to see Clayton Kershaw again in the postseason. I guess in a long series, it may be impossible to avoid him as we get to best of 7 in the next round if they advance. Playoffs have been great, man. I'm rooting for the Phillies. I like Trey Turner. I like watching Harper. I like watching Schwarber. I like their crowd, even though it is very much a front-running baseball crowd in Philadelphia. They play tonight at 6 o'clock, followed by Brewers-Cubs in a game 4. The Cubs got 4 in the top of the first, and they beat the Brewers 4-3. There's your baseball for the show. Your hockey for the show. The Caps opened up with a 3-1 loss. I'm not going to tell you that I watched a lot of this game. I was flipping back and forth, but I'm assuming, Max, you as a big hockey guy, watched this game. What happened?
I was at the game. I was in attendance. It was shout out to Uncle Ted because I saw a tweet towards the end of the game that said
Uncle Ted being Ted Leonsis.
Yes, because he put out a LinkedIn post that said if you are a customer affected by the YouTube TV or Hulu Plus debacle that's currently going on with Monumental, swing by Suite 104 for a free year of Monumental Plus. And that I did. So shout out to Ted. I will be watching all the Caps
games. You got a free year of Monumental Plus?
Yes. Thank you, Ted Leonsis. Okay. Did I lose you, Kev?
Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah, I got you. You cut out for a second. Yeah, I did.
Are you
get
there?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. He can't hear me, can he?
Max, did I lose you?
All righty, we're going to throw to a break and figure this out in the break. Give us 1 sec. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll work on some of these technical issues and get them figured out. It was Rendon and Soto who homered back-to-back on Kershaw back in 2019 in Game 5. That tied the game, and remember, Howie Kendrick won it with the Grand Slam in the 10th to win Game 5. But Kershaw looked just absolutely distraught, and Dave Roberts had to keep him out there last night. That was a hard-to-watch inning if you are a Clayton Kershaw or just a baseball fan, as he got absolutely lit up in a relief appearance last night. He's pitched well this year, by the way. All right, here's my what do you got. So you're going to hear some of Steve Suter's film breakdown of the Chargers game. Specifically today, you're going to hear him break down Jaden Daniels' performance. I won't, bury the lead. He loved it. He thought Jaden was phenomenal. But we went through a segment of the game, which we talked a lot about on Monday, and even maybe a little bit on Tuesday, that I want to go back to here during this What Do You Got segment. The end of the first half, the aggressiveness by Dan Quinn, which, by the way, let me just say, I'm for. I love how aggressive he is, Kingsbury is, especially with Jaden in the game. They definitely have a preference to be aggressive with Jaden at the end of halves, not so much Mariota. And they did take it a little bit less aggressive against Green Bay with Jaden in that Thursday night game. But I'm going to get to the what do you got here in a moment, but I want to just set it up again so everybody remembers. It's 10-7. They have gotten back into the game, courtesy of the Quan Martin forced fumble, the 3rd-and-16 throw to Jalen Lane, that drive that ended with a Bill Kroski Merritt touchdown run. They get a punt, and the ball is down at the 7-yard line with 1:35 left in the first half. It's 10-7, Chargers. Washington with terrible field position. They do have one timeout left with a minute 35 to go. The Chargers also have a timeout left. It's also important just to note that Washington is going to get the ball to start the third quarter. Well, you know, they come out swinging. You know, the first throw to Ertz is a catchable ball. Suter thinks it's a drop. I actually thought it was a bit high, but he said, look, it's not perfectly accurate, but it's a catchable ball. You got to catch that if you're Zach Ertz. And then they go second down, if you recall, and it's a sack back to the 2-yard line. So now it is third and 15 from their own 2-yard line. Interestingly, after the sack, nobody calls a timeout. Washington doesn't. At that point, I think they're probably going to run the football maybe on third down, do something safe, punt it, and get out of Dodge. By the way, I'm glad they didn't. They ended up getting 3 points after the roughing the punter, etc. But I want to get to the play in question here. So they, on third and 15, drop Jaden back again into the end zone. And he throws incomplete to Deebo Samuel, and that brings on the punting unit. But that third and 15 play, I talked about how Bud Dupree was within a whisker of a strip of Jaden. I mean, his hand, Jaden's hand with the ball in it barely clears Dupree at the last second. Incomplete. So there's an incredible opportunity on that play for a strip, fumble, touchdown, or safety, whatever. And we're talking 17-7, 12-7, Chargers due to get the ball back. But what Suter pointed out to me yesterday is what was missed on that play. An absolute blatant grab hold by Wiley on a blitzing Derwin James. Clear as, you know, crystal clear gets. He grabs Derwin James's jersey. You know, I said to Steve, when you get holding in the end zone, I would say 8 times out of 10, it is tackle on edge rusher because it's so exposed. That's typically what you get when you get a holding for a safety in the end zone. This was a guard picking up a blitzing safety, and he grabs his jersey and keeps James from getting to Jaden because he's got a clear line and he grabs his jersey as he's going by him. They miss that. Should have been a safety. Washington punts. We know what happened after that. Roughing the punter. Ladd McConkie returns it for a touchdown. My point here is there is definitely a mindset, and I like it, of being aggressive in these situations and trusting in not just Kingsbury, the players, but really the trust is in Jaden Daniels. But I do think that there is a time and a place for, you know, it's third and 15 from our own 2-yard line, and we only have one timeout left anyway. Maybe we shouldn't drop back where only bad things can happen on third and 15 from your own 2-yard line. Maybe we run we run the ball here, and you know, yes, the Chargers would have taken their last time out, and yes, you would have punted it back to them, and they would have had the ball with a chance to add maybe three, not seven, and you're going to get the ball to start the second half. But that was, in hindsight, I mentioned this, and I said it's a debatable thing in that situation, especially after the first down incompletion. You probably on second and 10. Want to do something a little bit more conservative. And he got sacked on second and 10 back to the 2-yard line. On third and 15 from their own 2, that's a bit reckless. And they got away with it. So I guarantee you they know they got away with it. They got away with a hold, a blatant hold in the end zone that should have been a safety. Which, you know, this happens all the time. We get missed calls all the time. And they were certainly on the right end of the penalty, you know, disparity on Sunday. And I think a lot of it was forced by Washington. No doubt. Armstrong drew a hold. I mean, their pass rush created and wreaked havoc on San Diego, on LA's offensive line, and on Justin Herbert in particular. But if they had called the safety here, or if Bud Dupree had smacked the ball out of Jaden's hands and they had fallen on it for a touchdown, that would have been an absolute, yeah, what are you doing there? It's third and 15 from your own 2-yard line. you have gotten back into this game after you were on the verge of falling behind 13-0, 17-0. You're back in this game. You've got the momentum, and you're gonna get the ball to start the second half. And this guy, Harbaugh, showed after the sack, no inclination to use a timeout before the 3rd and 15. I don't know why he didn't. He should have. So let's get to the break, or worst case, let's punt it and try to hold them to, no worse than a field goal attempt, because Dicker does have incredible range. Every kicker does now in the league, pretty much, with these new juiced up kicking balls. But yeah, I think it's fair to call the 3rd and 15 from their own 2-yard line drop back a reckless play, a reckless call. Again, don't get me wrong, I so much prefer the using the timeouts on defense, trying to gain an extra possession, trying to get points on every possession. They do it well, and they've got a guy that you can trust in, for sure. And they've got a guy that can literally take a bad situation like a 3rd and 15 and make a big play. And all of a sudden, you're out of trouble, and you're going down there with a chance to score. And of course, that's in their mindset. It's 3rd and 15. Our guys overcome 3rd and 15 a lot. But 3rd and 15 from your own 2 with 50 seconds to go, you only got one timeout left. And, they're not that bad defensively. They're pretty good. And here comes Derwin James, and it's a blatant hold. And it is a very close to a strip by Bud Dupree. And we would have criticized, I think everybody would have criticized, had it been a safety to make it 12-7. And then, by the way, they're getting the ball back with a chance to add to it. And maybe it's 15-7 at half. Or the strip and the fumble and the recovery, and it's 17-7. By the way, I'm not saying that would have decided the game, because the way they had turned it around after, that first touchdown drive, they were going to be in the game in the second half regardless. But it could have been a different score going into the break. I think it was reckless, actually. We talked about it on Monday's show, and I said, there's definitely a debate here for being, anti what you are, which is a bit more conservative, given field position, the one timeout left, the fact that you're getting it to start the third quarter. But that's not what they thought, for sure. And they got away with one. They definitely got away with one. It's pretty much the only time Tunsil gets beat in the entire game, because Tunsil was outstanding in this game. And Dupree is within a whisker of getting the football on Jaden's when Jaden pulled the ball back to throw it to Debo, incomplete. And Wiley is grabbing Derwin James's jersey from behind. Now, I was looking for, typically that would be a line judge, call, and I don't see where the line judge was on this play. The referee, the head referee in the back of the end zone, because Derwin James's back is turned to that referee away from it, that's where the tug is. He misses it. And so I don't know where the referee was that should have called that, but it should have been 12-7. But they miss a lot of those calls. All right. I think, other than listening to Suter's breakdown on Jaden, I think we are almost in that mode of turning towards Monday Night Football in Chicago. No Sunday game. We get to watch NFL football all day long on Sunday. And there's some good games coming up on Sunday. So did you see yesterday that Bill Kroski Merritt was given the FedEx Aaron Ground Award? Baker Mayfield got the Air Award, and Kroski Merritt got the Ground Award. It's the second time he's won it this year. The FedEx Air and Ground Award, weekly award. Kroski Merritt, for his 14 carries, 111 yards, got the award. How did Rico Dowdle not win that award this week? Rico Dowdle had 206 yards rushing. I'm glad Bill won it for the second time. How do you, if you're FedEx and you're handing out awards, and it wasn't, a meaningless 206 yards rushing, by the way, is that even possible to have? Like, you can have a 390-yard passing day that ends up being meaningless. you know, in a loss, in a big loss. You can't, right, have a 206-yard rushing day and have it not lead to, you know, a win or a very competitive loss. They won the game. The Panthers won the game. They're 2-3. This terrible team from earlier in the year is all of a sudden 2-3 with Dallas at home on Sunday, and they're only a 3-point dog. Look out, Cowboys. Rico Dowdle, 23 carries, 206 yards in the game. 9 yards per carry, a touchdown rushing. He also had 3 catches for 28 yards. But this was the ground award. Do you think they just weren't paying attention to the Carolina-Miami game?
Especially because it's weird because, like, Bill's also nominated for Rookie of the Week. So he's already got an award he's nominated for. Why wouldn't you just give it to the guy who had 200 on the ground?
I have a feeling that when the FedEx people sit down to, you know, Washington Chargers was the most watched game of the weekend. It was the 425 big game on Fox. 20-plus million people watched it. And I would have to think that Carolina-Miami was the least watched game on Sunday. Is it possible they just missed? Look, I said to you the other day, did you know that Rico Dowdle rushed for 206 yards? I didn't even know it until either yesterday or the day before. Maybe they just missed it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's possible.
It certainly is, I guess.
He's a good back. He has been a good back. He was underutilized in Dallas. Last year, they went out and brought Zeke back, and it became clear after like the third or fourth week, yeah, Zeke's done. And then Dowdle got the bulk of the carries. He basically, you know, had a season last year in which he rushed for 1,079 yards in the equivalent, if you want to count his lead back action, of like 12 games. And he did not have a good start to the season. I mean, Carolina's not good, and they were struggling in a lot of these games and behind, so they were throwing the ball in a lot of the games. But even in the game when they blew out Atlanta prior to the Falcons coming playing us, he only had 10 carries for 30 yards. But I don't know, when you rush for 206 yards, which is the best rushing day of the season so far, right? Has to be. I don't think anybody else has had. What did Derrick Henry have in the opener? Did he go for 200 against Buffalo?
No.
It was a lot of yards, though, wasn't it? I'm pulling it up right now. 169.
Okay, yeah.
In the opener. So this was the number one rushing output of the season. By the way, it may end up being the number one rushing day of the season. 206 yards is a pretty damn good day. There aren't many 200-yard rushing days in a season. And somehow they gave it to the guy that had 111. We'll take it. Bill will take it. Bill is a legend. Even with Federal Express, FedEx is giving Bill the award over the guy that rushed for 206 yards. Crazy. It's something else here that I wanted to mention in the open. Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday, and I wanted to emphasize it because I can't. Washington, I don't know the last time that at any point in this season, at least a couple of games into the season, that they were the number one rush offense yards per game in the league. You know, they've had teams where they've been very good rushing teams, clearly. You know, some of the Portis teams, even with Gibbs, you know, the 2012 team. The 2012 team, though, was not the number one rush offense in the league. I don't think it was. I'm going to go back and check that. The number one rush offense. Oh, it was. So that was the last time. All right. They finished number one in rushing yards per game in 2012. I just found the answer. I thought that they were top five with RG3. They were number one in 2012. So it's been 13 seasons since Washington was ranked as, and I don't think it's happened even in season. Last year, they were certainly in the top three, top four for pretty much the bulk of the season, but they weren't number one offensively. Last year. They finished, by the way, in terms of yards per game, they finished third. But remember, the Ravens like were way up there. They averaged 187.6 yards per game. The Eagles were second. Washington was at 154 a game and finished third. But they are currently the number one rush offense in the NFL, 156.4 yards per game. They're also the number one average yards per carry team in the league at 5.9 yards. Per game. But the disconnect here is that the time of possession numbers are terrible. Typically, the top ranked rush offenses in the NFL are also very high on the time of possession number. And Washington currently is 28th in the league in time of possession. They're averaging 27 minutes, 19 seconds a game in time of possession. Whereas the number two rush offense in the NFL, Buffalo, is the number one time of possession team in the league. The number, hold on for 1 second. The number five rush offense in the league, the Atlanta Falcons, they're the number two time of possession in the league. Detroit is the number seven rush offense in the league. They're number three in time of possession. So more often than not, if you are a top rush offensive football team, and obviously I think most of you understand the idea is that if you're running the football, the clock's running, and if you're converting on third downs, you're staying on the field. 156.4 yards per rush. Rushing yards per game should equate to something like in the top five in time of possession, but it doesn't. It's 28th. That's a massive disconnect from what you typically see. And the reason for that is the defense can't get off the field. And in the last two games in particular, you know, going back to the Atlanta game, they were doubled up at halftime, if you recall. Doubled up. It was like 20-10 time of possession. The play count was way off. That game ended 34 minutes and 15 seconds to 25-45 for Washington. And then on Sunday against the Chargers, first half, not exactly doubled up, but nearly doubled up in the first half. And most of that happened in the first quarter and a half when Washington gave up 179 yards on the first three drives before the fumble. And again, 34 minutes, 19 seconds, 25-41. The play differential, the Chargers had 10 more offensive snaps in the game. Atlanta had 13 more offensive snaps in the game. And then you go back to the Green Bay game, and that was pretty ugly as well. It was 33-27, basically, in time of possession. Washington gained in the second half with that. But if that changes, if the defense can improve just a little bit, if they can have, like, even the great pass rush the other day didn't equate to getting off the field enough in that football game. A lot of it was in the first half, but the Chargers were 9 of 16 on third down. Okay, that is not a rate in which you want to allow 9 for 16. And look, in the second half with the 20-10 lead, they played a lot of bend don't break on that long drive that ended in interception. You know, 14 plays, 53 yards, 7 minutes and 12 seconds. They gave up one third down conversion after another until the third and goal. You know, Suter said to me yesterday, he said, you saw the formula for Washington defensively this year. He's like, he does not think that there's a chance that they're going to become, you know, a true lockdown man coverage team. And he's not even convinced that they'll be a good zone coverage team. But he said if they can get the lead in these games and Armstrong and Kinlaw and company can rush the passer and they can sit back in zone behind it, bend don't break, that's the formula defensively for having some success. The problem with that is you're going to give up some time of possession. You're going to give up a 14-play, 53-yard, 7-minute, 12-second drive, which is what they gave up to the Chargers before getting the turnover on third and goal. And if they can make plays like the Quan Martin play, like the Johnny Newton Sanra still play at the goal line, and they can sit back and play more zone coverage and have that pass rush be effective, that probably is the best formula for keeping the chunk plays down. They're going to give up a lot of underneath on third and six to Keenan Allen, third and nine to Quentin Johnston, third and seven to Keenan Allen. They're going to give up a lot of that stuff against good teams that are going to shred their zone coverage. But as long as they keep everything in front of them and they've got a lead and they've got a pass rush, that's the formula for winning more games than losing. Because I think we've seen man coverage tends to be a disaster for them. They just don't seem to be on the same page. Even in zone coverage, they're not on the same page enough. But Caleb Williams and the Bears, he's been playing better. It's a creative offensive coordinator. Head coach, not an offensive coordinator anymore, Ben Johnson. Head coach. The Bears have, you know, the ability, offensive line-wise, although there was an injury, they're really good tackle Darnell Wright, the kid from Tennessee, who I'm convinced in the 2023 draft, had he fallen, Washington would have been all over him. They wanted and really liked Darnell Wright. But Wright is banged up. We'll see. Maybe you get, for a fourth time this year, you get a team in whose offensive line is a bit injured. Wright's played well. Jonah Jackson's on that line. Thuney's been outstanding for them. And then they've got weapons, you know, they've got DJ Moore and Adunze's having a really good season. By the way, Zacchaeus is in Chicago. If you didn't know that, Luther Burden, a rookie from Missouri, I would have loved him for us. He's had some moments. You know, they still have Cole Kmet. They have the rookie Loveland from Michigan at tight end. They've got talent on that team. This is a little bit like the Atlanta game, although there's no Bijan Robinson. Okay, so that's the good news. DeAndre Swift is not Bijan Robinson. Not many people are. But this is a team that has a lot of talent, and they just have a quarterback that hasn't figured it out yet. You know, with Caleb Williams has more starts than Penix Jr., but that's the question mark. Penix Jr. got healthy against Washington, looked really good, picked us apart. Can Caleb Williams do that? Maybe if their offensive line's banged up, maybe if they don't have Darnell Wright on Monday night. It's going to be, you know, from an offensive standpoint, the numbers that I gave you, the rush offense, the second part of that is Chicago has the 31st ranked rush defense, all right, 28th per DVOA, Washington's first in yards per game, fifth in overall DVOA rush offense. This would appear to be an obvious, we got to run the football against Chicago. Run the football, keep your defense off the field, and, you know, close out these drives. And with Jaden, I think you got a much better chance of closing them out with touchdowns more often than not, although guys like Chris Moore need to catch the football when it's thrown to them. Noah Brown was back yesterday. Terry still out. Dan Quinn had some things to say yesterday. Nobody really wants to talk that much about the Chicago game from last year. Good for them. We'll get to some of that. Denton will join us at 11 a.m. We'll preview the upcoming college football weekend, which includes a couple of big games in the Big Ten and in the SEC. Charch after that, and I do have smell test, I think picks, plural, for tonight's football action on the show today. Real quickly, want to let you know about Window Nation. Window Nation is offering all of you a chance to get new windows and not pay anything for 2 years. All right. First of all, they'll offer you a buy two, get two offer. So for every two windows you pay for, the next two will be free of charge. And then no down payment, no payments on a monthly basis, and no finance charges for an entire two-year period. So you're not going to pay any interest or any money at all until 2027. It's a big deal in terms of savings with the holidays coming up. The cool weather is here. Felt like fall this morning. And Window Nation wants to come out and take care of your older windows, creating better efficiency in your home and lower heating bills. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Do it before Halloween, October 31st, and you can get access to this deal. Window Nation is a trustworthy, high-quality, big-time customer service operation. They were recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of the best window installation companies in America. You can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows, I promise. WindowNation.com. Let them know that I sent you.
All right, happy Thursday, everybody. Here's what's happening. The Cleveland Browns going into fire sale mode, and they traded Greg Newsom to the Jaguars last night. A playoff baseball recap. The Tigers, they force a game five against the Mariners by a score of 9-3. The Chicago Cubs, they hold off the Brewers 4-3 to cut the series lead in half. The Toronto Blue Jays eliminate the New York Yankees from postseason contention in a 5-2 victory. And the Philadelphia Phillies lit up Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers by a score of 8-2 to stave off elimination. And to hockey, last night the Caps, they fall to the Bruins in their season opener by a score of 3-1. A tight game where the Caps had the upper hand early, but unable to capitalize on the power play. The Bruins score first. Caps get one back, and then moments later, Bruins retake the lead, and that was all she wrote. Tonight, we got an NFC East matchup on tap for Thursday Night Football. Eagles making a bus ride to East Rutherford to take on the New York Giants. Kickoff at 8:15. Pregame starts right here on the Team 980 at 8 p.m. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know last year was last year, but there's a lot of attention on the Hail Mary, obviously playing the Bears again. What is your biggest memory of that night, and then what is the biggest takeaway for you from that play?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I just leave that last year. It speaks on it's about itself. Hi, Coach. On the same topic, when you're helping the guys prepare this week, how much do you talk about that play and the end of that game versus recognizing Chicago's a different team this year and you have a whole different week of preparation ahead?
Yep, that was the first I talked about it right there.
You haven't adjusted with the team at all?
Zero.
Do you plan to?
None.
Gotcha. That's all I had. Thanks.
It's last year's story. You know, like, it was awesome. We loved it. But, like, it doesn't apply to this week's game at all unless we get into that exact scenario and that exact situation. So then we can talk about it. But until then, like, we got a lot of stuff to get better at and work on to get ready.
First, Jaden Daniels, then Dan Quinn yesterday. You know, Tyreek Stevenson was a big part of that play last year, and he's getting asked about it. He was number 29, if you recall, the one jawing at people in the crowd before the Hail Mary, getting back to the play late and then being the guy that actually tipped it up in the air for Noah Brown, one of the true boneheaded plays of last year. And he said that basically the only thing I could do from then on was show that my actions had changed and I had to become a better man and a better football player on the field. It was harsh. It hurt my feelings, the criticism. That's the best way I can explain it. It just hurt my feelings being a football player and having one of those mistakes that's going to linger around. Even when my son grows up, I've got to explain that to him. It definitely hurt, but I used it as fuel. He's actually been playing well this year, Stevenson has, for the Bears. Yeah, that's one of those plays, because it is an all-time memorable regular season play. I mean, that's, you know, it's not at the top of the list, but it's certainly one of those in our franchise's history. And by the way, in the Bears franchise history, on the other side of it, you're never going to forget that play, and it's going to be replayed forever. And Stevenson will be a big part of that play forever. I thought the last part of Quinn just saying, unless, the only reason to even harken back to it is if we get into that same situation again. That would be kind of crazy, you know, because it'll be dark like it was, you know, late at 7:30 or whatever it was last year. They're going to have the alt-black uniforms on. Bears are going to be wearing their white uniforms. It's going to look awfully similar. Imagine they've got the ball at midfield with 3 seconds to go down, you know, four or five, and you're going to get a Hail Mary at the end. Be pretty wild. All right. Dan Quinn had a couple of other things that I wanted you to hear from yesterday. This was Quinn yesterday talking about, like, third down issues and getting into better third down situations down in distance.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
You guys have the best running attack in the NFL right now, yet your third down percentage is, I think, probably not as high as you would like it to be. How do those two things kind of marry to each other, and what is it going to take from your offense to get that number higher?
Yeah, two things I think we're still digging in on, like most things. We're still trying to get better at, you know, some of our pre-snap fouls. We've had some of those that knock us into some longer ones. And the third downs, as you referenced, to say, can we, how many of these can be smaller and closer as opposed to ones that have more time and distance onto them? So they do tie together. When do we, you know, the thirds that are medium compared to thirds that are long? And so those are definitely ones that do tie together. But it's definitely, as you know, we talked about our leveling up. That's one of them. And as a coach, you get to spend more time on some certain areas. And how do we affect that both ways? And so third downs, I think, you know, a big piece for us. And in Chicago, that's one of the things that they do excellent.
You know, Washington right now tied for third in the league for false start penalties. So some of those pre-snap, penalties are an issue right now with them. And I'm looking up right now because I didn't do this before, but I can find the information because they did have a delay of game on Sunday and they used a timeout. Yeah, they're not up there on delay of games, but tied for third in the league on false start penalties. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about, and he actually answered a question. Max let me know during the break that he actually was asked about the time of possession thing tied to the rushing yards. I'll play that for you in a moment. But yes, typically you're the number one rush offense in the league. You're going to be a little bit higher in third down percentage as well. And Washington right now in third down offense. Remember, defensively, they were very strong to start the season on third down. But right now, third downs on offense, I'll have it for you here in a second. They are 30. They're 29th in the league at 32.7% third down offense. Defensively, remember, for a few weeks they were number one in the league on third down. They're not at number one in the league anymore. They're basically in the middle of the pack at 16th. So they went from number one after the Raider game in third down defense to, you know, the game against the Falcons and the game against the Chargers. They gave up 9 of 16 against the Chargers. They're now dropped all the way to 16th in the league on third down defense. But yeah, time of possession and first and third down conversions offensively, usually they are connected more so to being a really good rush offense, and they haven't been for this team yet this year. This was Quinn on the time of possession thing. Max mentioned during the break that he was actually asked about the time of possession and the rush offense numbers. Here's what he said.
Dan, if I tell you there's a team that leads the league in rushing but is 28th in time of possession, can you explain how that those two teams things mesh? Because it seems they should be more in line, but not.
Yeah, it would be. I think it's the whole factor of it. You know, like there's probably some games where we had too many long drives, you know, defensively that we didn't like. So I think it all kind of, you know, works in together as we're going. I still feel like there's plenty of areas for us to improve upon. Third downs would be a big part of that as well, Ben, because obviously now there's some punts and some things that end some drives. So I think that's probably the closest correlation. When you're playing really well on third down, you have, you know, more extended drives. If you're really effective on first and second downs, you could actually have less third downs, you know, and you're just maintaining the ball. So we've got plenty of work to do on third down, but I would say going in, that could be one of the, you know, the topics.
Yeah, remember, last year they finished sixth on third down and number one on fourth down. They're 4 of 6 on fourth down this year. They're way down the list in terms of attempts. They just haven't had it's not really been a case of them being less aggressive. They just haven't had as many, you know, fourth and threes or less where it was an obvious go for it situation. And let's keep in mind too in the third down numbers. Okay, right now they're sitting at 29th in the league in third down offense. Jaden's played in three games, and one of those games you almost feel like you got to toss out against the Packers because they had no chance in that particular game on that particular night. And in the games, and look, the third down percentage on Sunday, I think was maybe a little bit misleading. They were 2 of 7, but one of those third downs was running out the clock at the end of the game before they went for the fourth down and scored the touchdown. So you don't really want to, they're not trying to pick up the third down. They'll take it if they can run for it, but they're running clock in that particular spot. So, you know, that puts one of those third downs at risk. And then I'm trying to think, was the field goal at the end of the first half a third down play? I don't think it was. I think it was a second down, right? They completed the ball to Debo, and then they clocked it after that. That would have been a first down play. But, yeah, I don't feel personally like there's going to be a third down issue with Jaden on the field. And I think the fourth down numbers, they're 4 for 6. That's pretty good on fourth down. But, you know, the circumstance of having more fourth down opportunities is really a function of not being successful enough on first, second, and third down. You know, you'd prefer as a team to have the fewest number of fourth down attempts and the fewest number of third down attempts, because that means your first and second down offense is super productive. The best teams, sometimes the best offensive teams, certainly the most explosive offensive teams, tend to have a lower number of third down attempts in the league because they are producing first downs on first and second down. There was one more Dan Quinn I wanted to play because I do think that this is going to be an interesting situation, and I don't know if it's going to develop this week or not, but Chris Paul and Andrew Wiley are competing, clearly, with Sam Cosmi when he comes back. Here was Dan Quinn.
You've had Chris Paul and Andrew Wiley playing well at guard the last couple of weeks. I know they're playing different spots, but are they sort of in competition with each other to determine who's going to be the other guard starter besides Cosme?
Yeah, I would say there's competition all the time, but you know, as we're going into it, you know, let's wait till he gets back and gets going. I think that's more appropriate for it, because even then, you know, how much are we going to go right when he does get back? So I think we got, you know, some time to work through where we want to get to there.
Here's my guess. My guess is Chris Paul's not going anywhere. And that when Cosme is ready to play, and that's, you know, that point is an important point by Dan Quinn there. The offensive line's playing pretty well right now, better than the situation with Coleman and Allegretti early in the season. And so they're not going to put Cosme out there because they're not going to be desperate to put him out there quite yet. They're going to let him come along. So this may be a conversation for next week or even the week after. But not necessarily this week. But I would bet you, first of all, right guard was Cosme's position. That's where Wiley's playing. Secondly, Chris Paul has been outstanding since replacing Brandon Coleman at left guard. And so I would guess that if they do, when Cosme comes back, if he is ready to play, if they feel good about Cosme entering back into the lineup, I would bet you it's for Wiley, not Chris Paul. I think they're really happy with Chris Paul. And again, right guard, I'm pretty sure that's true, right? Cosme's a right guard.
Yes, he is right guard.
Yeah, so that's the position that Wiley's playing right now. Now, Wiley's versatile. He could go to left guard if they thought he was a better player than Chris Paul, but I don't think that's where they're going to land. I don't. We'll talk some college football with Denton next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.